are going to listen to the opening statements at a panel discussion about global companies and consumer behavior. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, answer the questions 1 to 8 using a maximum of 4 words. Write your answers in the spaces provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
Welcome, everyone, to our panel discussion today. Let me introduce our participants. Michael Field from Fairer World, an NGO based in London. Susan Adams, a wife and mother from Edinburgh. And Simon Moss, who lives and works in Sunderland. Thank you for coming and sharing your views with us. Mr. Field, would you like to start?
Yes, thank you very much. Today, I'd like to focus on the food industry and the role played by multinational companies. Our latest research shows that none of the Big Ten, which includes Nestle, Unilever and Coca-Cola, score well on their CSR. Let me give you a few facts. Up to 80% of the global population considered chronically hungry are farmers, yet huge areas of fertile land are used for the production of unhealthy snacks and sugary drinks. Although the relationship between the food and beverage industry and endemic poverty and hunger is now well understood, the sourcing of commodities – cocoa, sugar, potatoes, tomatoes, soy, coffee, tea and corn – is still as unfair as it was 100 years ago. Multis like to point to their corporate sustainability programs. However, typically, they are tightly focused around specific projects such as water use or training women farmers, while failing to address the root causes of hunger and poverty. It's not enough to cherry-pick particular initiatives. Of course, philanthropic projects are welcome, but they don't address the root of the problem. Companies like Unilever and Nestle fail to use their enormous power to help create a more just food system. In fact, in some cases, these companies undermine food security and economic opportunity for the poorest people in the world, making hungry people even hungrier. One of their worst offences is certainly land rights violations. Instead of committing themselves to zero tolerance against so-called land grabs, millions of acres of land have been seized from poor farmers and rural communities over the last decade. What food and drink companies could further do is promote more fairness along the supply chain. Give a fair price to small farmers, pay workers adequate wages, manage water and land use better, and reduce the impacts of climate change. Eliminating the unfair exploitation of land, water and labour clearly lie within the means of these hugely powerful companies. The civil society is called upon to bear in mind this scandalous inequity in the food industry, and consumers should think twice before they buy their next fizzy drink or tasty chocolate bar.
Well, thank you for your opening statement, and now let me hand over to Ms. Adams.
Well, I am really concerned about the current food production. Horse meat was found in burgers instead of beef. Bottles filled with tap water instead of mineral water. Nowadays, you really don't know what the bread, the juice, the milk, all the food you buy contains. Consumers are getting more and more insecure, and we all worry and wonder where our food comes from, whether it's been treated with chemicals, pesticides, herbicides and all that stuff. So it's not surprising that quite a lot of people turn their backs on processed food. tins and cans and cheap vegetables and fruit sealed in plastics offered at supermarkets, and rather buy locally, even though it's more expensive. Local food is fresher, and it tastes better than food that has been shipped or flown in from thousands of miles away. And what is more, it doesn't only taste better, it's also much better for the environment. Everybody's talking about the carbon footprint. Well, just look at the big carbon footprint of a few cloves of garlic from China or potatoes from North Africa. It's insane when we can grow it all at home. And how can you be sure organic and sustainable farming methods are used there? The shorter the supply chain, the shorter the distance between your food source and your table, the less chance there is of contamination. Also, when you know where your food comes from and who grows it, you know a lot more about that food and there is less need to worry. And last but not least, buying at home from local farmers helps build your local economy instead of supporting big global companies in another state or country.
Thank you, Ms. Adams. And now, last but not least, it's your turn, Mr. Moss.
Well, what I want to say is that I'm very glad about shops like H&M and Primark. I love my burger at McDonald's. I don't understand what people are on about. I mean, I, like everybody else I know, seem to have less money on my paycheck every month, and we can't afford to go shopping in fancy boutiques, which may ethically source their clothes or sell so-called green clothes. Isn't that what it's called? Isn't there talk about that now? Ridiculous. I have a wife and two children, and if I do my weekly grocery shopping at an organic food store, I may help the environment, but I certainly will be more out of pocket than going to the usual supermarket chain. I think all tree huggers and do-gooders are simply unrealistic, and it's unfair to give ordinary people a bad conscience. I couldn't care less where my food and clothes come from, as long as the price is right.
Welcome, everyone, to our panel discussion today. Let me introduce our participants. Michael Field from Fairer World, an NGO based in London. Susan Adams, a wife and mother from Edinburgh. And Simon Moss, who lives and works in Sunderland. Thank you for coming and sharing your views with us. Mr. Field, would you like to start?
Yes, thank you very much. Today, I'd like to focus on the food industry and the role played by multinational companies. Our latest research shows that none of the Big Ten, which includes Nestlé, Unilever and Coca-Cola, score well on their CSR. Let me give you a few facts. Up to 80% of the global population considered chronically hungry are farmers, yet huge areas of fertile land are used for the production of unhealthy snacks and sugary drinks. Although the relationship between the food and beverage industry and endemic poverty and hunger is now well understood, the sourcing of commodities – cocoa, sugar, potatoes, tomatoes, soy, coffee, tea and corn – is still as unfair as it was 100 years ago. Multis like to point to their corporate sustainability programs. However, typically, they are tightly focused around specific projects such as water use or training women farmers, while failing to address the root causes of hunger and poverty. It's not enough to cherry-pick particular initiatives. Of course, philanthropic projects are welcome, but they don't address the root of the problem. Companies like Unilever and Nestlé fail to use their enormous power to help create a more just food system. In fact, in some cases, these companies undermine food security and economic opportunity for the poorest people in the world, making hungry people even hungrier. One of their worst offences is certainly land rights violations. Instead of committing themselves to zero tolerance against so-called land grabs, millions of acres of land have been seized from poor farmers and rural communities over the last decade. What food and drink companies could further do is promote more fairness along the supply chain. Give a fair price to small farmers, pay workers adequate wages, manage water and land use better, and reduce the impacts of climate change. Eliminating the unfair exploitation of land, water and labour clearly lie within the means of these hugely powerful companies. The civil society is called upon to bear in mind this scandalous inequity in the food industry, and consumers should think twice before they buy their next fizzy drink or tasty chocolate bar.
Well, thank you for your opening statement, and now let me hand over to Ms. Adams.
Well, I am really concerned about the current food production. Horse meat was found in burgers instead of beef. Bottles filled with tap water instead of mineral water. Nowadays, you really don't know what the bread, the juice, the milk, all the food you buy contains. Consumers are getting more and more insecure, and we all worry and wonder where our food comes from, whether it's been treated with chemicals, pesticides, herbicides and all that stuff. So it's not surprising that quite a lot of people turn their backs on processed food. Tins and cans and cheap vegetables and fruit sealed in plastics offered at supermarkets, and rather buy locally, even though it's more expensive. Local food is fresher and it tastes better than food that has been shipped or flown in from thousands of miles away. And what is more, it doesn't only taste better, it's also much better for the environment. Everybody's talking about the carbon footprint. Well, just look at the big carbon footprint of a few cloves of garlic from China or potatoes from North Africa. It's insane when we can grow it all at home. And how can you be sure organic and sustainable farming methods are used there? The shorter the supply chain, the shorter the distance between your food source and your table, the less chance there is of contamination. Also, when you know where your food comes from and who grows it, you know a lot more about that food and there is less need to worry. And last but not least, buying at home from local farmers helps build your local economy instead of supporting big global companies in another state or country.
Thank you, Ms. Adams. And now, last but not least, it's your turn, Mr. Moss.
Well, what I want to say is that I'm very glad about shops like H&M and Primark. I love my burger at McDonald's. I don't understand what people are on about. I mean, I, like everybody else I know, seem to have less money on my paycheck every month, and we can't afford to go shopping in fancy boutiques, which may ethically source their clothes or sell so-called green clothes. Isn't that what it's called? Isn't there talk about that now? Ridiculous. I have a wife and two children, and if I do my weekly grocery shopping at an organic food store, I may help the environment, but I certainly will be more out of pocket than going to the usual supermarket chain. I think all tree huggers and do-gooders are simply unrealistic, and it's unfair to give ordinary people a bad conscience. I couldn't care less where my food and clothes come from, as long as the price is right.